With the Cleveland Browns on the field this week for OTAs, all the talk is on Deshaun Watson. We're going to bring in Jake Burns from the OBR and try to put some realism, expectation-wise, to what actually can happen this season for Deshaun Watson and the Cleveland Browns offense. All that and more on your latest Locked On Browns.
You are Locked On Browns, your daily Cleveland Browns podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends, your daily delivery of all things Dog Pound, LGB, on ELOB, the Locked On Browns podcast, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, thanks to the everydayers who make Locked On Browns their first listen. As always, you guys are the fabric on which this show is built. My suggestion to all you people rolling through Locked On Browns for the first time is be more like the everydayers. Make sure you're subscribed to the Locked On Browns podcast on YouTube, audio-wise, always available. Always free wherever you get your podcasts. As I said, we have Jake Burns of the OBR, the OBR Film Breakdown Podcast, in here today. Segment three, we're going to examine here as we go offense heavy today with Jake Burns. How does a run game factor into 2023? What kind of role do we see with Nick Chubb? Does it change a little bit? Where is maybe the life in that room after Nick Chubb? Segment two, obviously examining Deshaun's weapons. I guess you can't tweet about Nuke Hopkins and maybe not wanting him to come to Cleveland, but that's the best thing, guys. Volume off, notifications off, phone down. I ain't got to see it when it's coming my way. But obviously the entire 2020 season, and we just did finish a five episode series on the five most important Cleveland Browns for the 2023 season. Number one, obviously, none of this means anything on the other 52 guys on this roster. And I don't truly mean it that way, but it all comes down to Deshaun Watson and what Deshaun Watson can do. What can Deshaun Watson perform like? Jake, there's been a lot of talk, and obviously you can look at a player and you could look at actually what has been the pinnacle of their career. And it's not that Deshaun Watson 2020 was this aberration, and it wasn't, you know, things that we've seen in the past from a player like this, but it is definitely the high water mark. You look at a player like Watson, hopefully the rust removed, hopefully a little bit more comfortable now, new coach, new system, new city, new team, new players, everything. You know, in the time he's been here, five wide receivers brought in alone just in the time Deshaun Watson has been here. Jake, what can truly be the expectation? Can he return to that top seven, top five, top four, whatever some folks thought he truly was?
The expectation should be that he should. I mean, they're certainly paying him like they think he can, right? I mean, I understand that when that situation came to pass and how they had to operate to go get him, that was tricky. I understand that the financials of him are sort of unequivocally different than anything we've ever seen. Cause it was a true quarterback, like free agency sweepstakes. And you never see that where teams are upbidding and all that, but they don't do that, risk what they did if they didn't think he could. Now, if they're thinking that he can be that, you should be thinking that too, in my opinion. There's no reason that the expectation shouldn't be that Deshaun Watson is really good. Like, he needs to be really good. I'm not saying he has to be better than Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, but you're expecting him to be in that discussion again, because he was, and he's now had, you know, the six games were ugly. I don't know if ugly is the right way to say it. There were flashes of good play in those six games. It was clearly, and I've tried to illuminate this on my side as best I can, like, there were clearly mixed ranges of what they wanted to do, who they wanted to be offensively when he was there. So it's not a surprise to me that he struggled, largely because they came out of the gate and wanted to do something that was more built toward him. And then they figured out really quickly after that Houston game, we can't really operate that way right away. We are too entrenched in the wide zone Kubiak stuff. We've always been and trying to operate that with Jacoby, and trying to just do that on the fly is too difficult. So moral of the story, long story short, him struggling is not a surprise to me in those six games, because it was something different for him. It was a really different system and all of that. Now, I think they're going to curtail it to him. Everything he wants to be, who they want to be, ultimately become, like, it's heavily influenced by him. He's got his hand all over the decision-making, the playbook, the pre-snap calls, adjustments. He wants to be more involved in all of that stuff. So you should be expecting, a really good quarterback this year. To sort of answer your question in the second part of it, does he have to be that for them to win, Jeff? I don't think he has to be elite for them to be a winning, have a winning, 10, 11 win season. I think he can be 90% of that player, 85, 90%, and they could still be really good. But to get to the places they ultimately want to go, they can't do it without that version of Deshaun Watson. They just can't. The quarterback play is way too good in the AFC. So they can't get where they want to go without him being the guy they expected to get when they traded for him, the 2020 version. They have enough talent around him to help him get there. So it's going to be on Deshaun to get there. You should be expecting that. But again, it doesn't have to be that to get to 10, 11 wins and a chance in the playoffs. So it's a process. They're growing. This is a big year, obviously. And by the end of this season, we should feel like this guy is back to being who he's always been, outside of that 6-game sample size. But like I said, I think we're getting a little too far into expecting like less out of him when we should be expecting him to be really good, because that's what he thinks he is. That's how he trains. That's why the Browns traded for him. And that should be what pushes them into the upper echelon of the AFC.
Now, last year, the beginning stretch with Jacoby Brissett, 4-7, one of the things that we were saying a lot on the show was this can be done, but you've got to be careful what kind of situations you get yourself into. Mm-hmm. And number one, you can't expect Jacoby Brissett to go and win you some ball games. Guess what? There were opportunities where they tried to get Jacoby Brissett in the closing minutes to win them some ball games. Didn't always work out. Tampa Bay excluded. You can't rely on a rookie kicker to belly out week in, week out. And obviously, without the exception of maybe Carolina, that didn't always work out so well either. But this is the expectation when you write a $230 million check. Hey, we may have played, not up to par for 55 minutes, but hey, we're down 4. We've got the ball. You're the guy. Go get it done.
There's no doubt. I mean, he has to be able to handle that stuff. They could have a version of him that is still good, and they can win some games. They can win 8, and I mean, they can win 9, 10 games, maybe 11. But I don't think any of us are sitting here now. Finally, they're in this all-in window, and expecting that to just be like shrug your shoulders and say, "Well, it makes sense. They did it right. They got a quarterback that's decent here. They're expecting him to be really good. They need him to be really good. You don't go up against the Bengals and Joe. You don't go up against Josh Allen. We know you don't go to Kansas City or have Kansas City come to you and beat Kansas City without stellar quarterback play. So again, the Browns, it's not just the money, Jeff. It's not just, there's so much that they took on, and you do not do this unless you're expecting him to be the guy you had in 2020. They're telling us what they're expecting. They don't outwardly tell us sometimes, right? They put the patience on and they do the face and the front. Your contract, your commitment, your desire to uproot everything at the time into relationship early with Baker Mayfield, you risked it all. So then that tells us what we need to know. So we need to stop tiptoeing around formulating early excuses for the guy. No, he should be really good. If he's not really good, considering all of the weapons, the stellar offensive line, if he's not really good, that's a disappointment. Average quarterback play from Deshaun Watson next year would be disappointing for us to see. If he goes like 22 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, 3,400, 3,500 yards. Now, ultimately, Jeff, I've got some takes on this on the record on my show. Like that, whatever happens with Deshaun this year, he'd be absolved of it. If he's stellar, it's because of him. It's because he's great. If he's bad, they're going to blame.
Oh, no doubt.
Kevin. And they're going to push Kevin out the door. So he's got a year here to figure, get it all right. But to me, the expectation when I break down film, when I watch him, should be a quarterback that plays every bit as good as the one I see in Cincinnati, Buffalo, and Kansas City. It should be pushing into that right now. I take that back. Pat Mahomes is on an island of his own. I don't even want to put people out there. We've seen too much evidence of it. But the guy in Buffalo, the guy in Cincinnati, that's the rank. You got to figure out how to get the Browns into that quarterback threshold. And if they do, we're going to talk about some of their weapons. It's good enough. The defense has been committed to being better. The coordinator changes. It's all there. It's all there for the taking, man.
There's no doubt about it. And a nice little segue there from Mr. Burns here. We're going to bring up the work that has been done here weapon-wise, you know, whether it is adding another tight end, whether it is the extensive work at bringing bodies into the wide receiver room. We're going to get to all that. Roth, thank you, everybody, for being along here. Your latest Lockdown Browns, Jeff Lloyd, joined by the OBR's Jake Burns. If you were like me and you want to make healthier snack choices, but you don't want to compromise on taste, I've got just the thing for you. Built Bars and Built Puffs. Built Bars are healthy and they taste amazing. Seriously, they taste so amazing. You won't think they are good for you. You got to try it. What makes Built Bars so good? Well, for starters, they are covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. They come in unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and cookies and cream. I'm not sure how Built does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros. And what's even better is that they are healthy. Only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar with a whopping 17 grams of protein. We've talked in the past about ordering your bars from Built.com. Well, now you can head to your nearest Walmart, walk into the pharmacy section, and grab yourself a box of Built Bars. You can pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puff. If you're closer to Sam's Club, run in and grab a 13-bar box with our hit flavors, brownie batter puff and churro puff. And guys and gals, you can thank me later. Jake, we discussed here, and look, you know, the Amari Cooper trade done, obviously right before the Deshaun Watson trade. You go out in the draft that year, you draft David Bell, a player that, you know, I don't think we saw enough of, but I think we saw enough of that he probably should be some part of this room here in 2023. You go into this year, you make the Elijah Moore move, you know, a player that plenty of us would have loved to have found a way for Cleveland to originally draft him. The way it all shook out, you end up dropping back a little bit later in the draft. You bring in a player that you gave up a second-round pick for a player who was a former second-round pick, 23, untapped potential. I love the fact that he comes in here with a little bit of chip on his shoulder. A, that the franchise that he was with didn't necessarily know what to do at the quarterback position, which led to him not being as used as much as he should have been. And also that a fact that a player like Aaron Rodgers said, I'm good. I got my own guys, so if you need to move on from him, move on from him. Then you take that pick. You go out and basically double down, get one type of wide receiver you do not have in this room, the biggest wide receiver in the room in Cedric Tillman. And then even you find an opportunity here to say, well, there is a guy in that room who we drafted to be a speed merchant. It hasn't really worked out. Now, here is an NFL veteran with a proven history of being a role-playing wide receiver with legit track speed in Marquise Goodwin. And now it's always – and I love that everybody wants to say, well, you look at this room and you know, these 6 wide receivers – if you're playing your 5th and 6th wide receiver meaningful reps, it usually doesn't work out. Usually something bad happened. But the depth of this room, and also for me, Jake, the diversity of this room in which all these guys kind of differ from each other, not cookie cutter type of guys. Yeah. And it gives the opportunity to play different ways. I mean, I've been clamoring. Look, Elijah Moore, there could be a path here where he leads his team in receptions because there's so many gibby touches you can get him, you know, whether it's smokes, whether it's screens, jet screens. There's so many things you can do with him where he comes in here to what Donovan Peoples-Jones has done for his first 3 years. Amari Cooper, and it's the funniest thing that we learned about Amari Cooper is he doesn't get talked about like he should because Amari Cooper is pretty much like Nick Chubb. He's just a guy, a skill player in the NFL, who doesn't really have much to say. It's a rarity in this day and age. And I think it's part of the reason why players like he and Nick do get overlooked. But the weaponry that is at the disposal of Deshaun Watson here, you got to be excited about it.
Yeah, there's plenty of answers, put it that way, right? I mean, you have a traditional X and Donovan who's done it for a while. He's not a separator, but he can catch the football. He's as sticky handed as it gets. He's a nice backside route runner for them for their front side combinations. You know, like Amari is so flexible, he can play the slot. And Donovan's played some slot too. They mix up those alignments. Like they can do that. He can play Z. He can float inside. He can do moving stuff, motion. You can put him anywhere you think is advantageous. Elijah's got a bunch of experience. I think he's best fit to play Z because I want to move him around and let him be fluid and put him to the field and let him run those separator types of routes that put him into situations where a long throw is able to get there because he's created enough separation, but he can play slot. I mean, like last year he was playing X and then the Jets decided, you know, Garrett Wilson is pretty damn good. We should probably put Garrett Wilson at X, let him do his thing there. And I understand, cause I think Garrett Wilson's going to be a multi-time all pro guy.
No, there's no doubt.
so that really ticked Elijah off because he was playing X and that's where he wanted to play. That's why he got into the tizzy with the coaching staff and all that. He ends up playing slot. He was fine. It's just the Zach Wilson nightmare had a huge impact on him. So there's the weapons there. I mean, you got youngster Cedric Tillman can play X or Z. Some people think he can play a little bit more Z. I got to see some more of it. He's a traditional X to me, kind of pushing Donovan. That's fine. David Bell's, I mean, he's all over the field last year, didn't produce a ton, but again, this is that offense isn't predicated on letting slot receivers thrive. So it's not surprising to me. Hell, they didn't even want to put Jarvis Landry in there all too much because you wanted to get him chances and they don't use that position a lot. So maybe they, as they evolve here, they will. And I think they will as they, I know they're going to go to more RPO gun-based things and just really a variation of different schemes that they haven't really wanted to put in both the run phase and pass game. It's going to look completely different, but at times I should say, I got to be careful with the phrasing at times it will look completely different. But that's four guys, five guys. Marquise Goodwin can run. You can put him wherever. He's never been a slot guy, but in Seattle last year, he had a bunch of success playing the slot with Geno Smith in that pass game, which was really effective. So, yeah, that's enough, right? And the question is DeAndre Hopkins, right? If he comes here, if he's interested at there, if he really says to you, I would love to come play for the Cleveland Browns, I can make a couple years at $8 million worth it. Do I think they need him? No. And I think that's what Kevin said at the golf tournament the other day. They don't need him. We like our room. They believe in their guys. But if Hop does want to come here at a reasonable price, like, he's still good. I'm writing on it right now. He can play. He's not running past anybody, but he can create separation. He snaps off routes the way the old Hopkins did. Not quite as much. He's lost about a half step, but he's so nuanced, Jeff. He knows how to get open against coverage and box people out. And he's so – what he's really good at and what pairs with Watson so well and why those two really – tickled each other's fancy back in the day in terms of making each other better is he's so good at scramble drill. He knows the second his mobile quarterback moves where I need to go. He just has a keen feel for it. So I don't think they need DeAndre Hopkins, but if they were to like, okay, hey man, this guy really wants to come here, we'll make it work. They'd be better. He's good. He's still good enough, right? I see how you could say it stunts the growth of some guys, but like also, I mean, injuries occur. We've got Amari coming off a core muscle surgery. Mm-hmm. You know, you've had health at that position relative and you never plan on it. But I just think that like saying they wouldn't be better with him, I think is just not right. Now, do they need to go all out, sell themselves out to get him? No, but there's a difference between an angle of a contract that would make sense for the Cleveland Browns and a guy who really wants to come here and play with the quarterback he knows is really good. So I think they've done enough. You add in David at tight end, as you know, Jeff, and you add in Jordan Akins, who is very athletic, even at his age.
It's hard to find somebody that you could say, hey, he's kind of like David Njoku, but they actually did go find out somebody who's kind of like David Njoku.
Now, he doesn't want to block like David, but they do want him to catch it like David. He can, Jeff. He's good in the open field, brother. Like, he can really move, and he can make people miss, and he can extend plays. Like, if they put him in that Harrison Bryant position and give him the ball in space, he's going to create. He can run. He can gallop. So that's another spot. So like week to week, we want to be a 12 personnel team. We want to be more, 13 this week, or heaven forbid, if they get David was out a couple games last year, if they want it to be a true 10 personnel, four wide receivers, they can find ways to make it work. So listen, you want to have, we talk about it all the time on defense, depth, all these places. You want to have D-line depth. You want to rotate. Well, hey man, what's the problem with doing that on offense a little bit too? If you want to have long drives and you want your quarterback to throw it around, you want to be able to do some zone reads, you want your running backs to be able to get you for, like, it's okay to have a bunch of talent. It's okay. They're in an all-in window. They're as all-in gets. They have told you that from the second they changed the name of their show from Building the Browns to Unleashed. We're all in, man. This is their window. So if they go after Hopkins, I understand why some folks are like, they don't need it, but boy, it's still Nuke. It's still 2 years of that guy that could be really good, and it would help you. And you do a lot of different things. So they're good enough. They got some real players. I don't want to freak people out. They don't need that guy. But if the guy wants to join, he's all in. You could certainly work him in. But it is a nice group of weapons, a really nice group of weapons. And I'm not to segue us over again, but looking at the run game, like there may be one piece away in the run game, but the way they're going to structure their offense around how they run the football is changing, Jeff. And I think it's going to do Nick some real favors there.
Yeah. And also the thing though, but this would also probably have to be something where Nuke said, I just want to be a Cleveland Brown.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, you look at Kansas City and you say, you know what? Everybody's going to have their eyes in between the hashes trying to figure out how in the world they can stop Travis Kelce. And I'm just going to eat on the outside. Or I think Buffalo is closer than Cleveland, which at this point is absolutely fair to say, or I want no part of the AFC North. Mm-hmm. Which is fair to say, because, I mean, it is going to be a dogfight. And also just thinking generally with the AFC this year, we're probably going to see a tendency of 7 team in the AFC go home and sit on the couch for the playoffs. Yep. That is absolutely certainly a possibility that can happen, because the depth within this conference is just that deep. Or who knows? Even maybe there's a team in the NFC that all of a sudden, because it is not nearly as stacked, he makes that much of a significant difference for that team, where maybe that looks more appealing. But I do believe if he says that in his heart at the end of the day, I want to play with Deshaun Watson, I want to be a Cleveland Brown, it'll get done. I don't think the Browns would not, especially after Zadarius, going all in on Tomlinson, flirting with Javon Hargrave. If they went to those extents, if Nuke Hopkins' agent, and look, guys, I don't care that his agent is based out of Cleveland, all right? How many guys have played for the Browns that are represented by our guy down at South Beach? So that has nothing to do with it. But I do believe if he says, I want to go be a part of the Cleveland Browns and I want to go play with Deshaun Watson, the Browns will make it work.
Yeah, they will. And, like, I like Donovan Peoples-Jones, but he's functional. He's fine. There's a spot for him here still to do some things. His role would be reduced. The targets, the yards would go down. But it doesn't spell the end of his tenure with the Browns. Now, could they look to move him? Maybe. But, like, I think everybody thinks you bring somebody on and you have to let them go. Like, let somebody else go. And while that's potentially the case, like, I don't think they're forced to. I think you can find ways to get these guys on the field. And, the thing that's we have to remember is you're not – like, the availability of players doesn't happen all at once. Like, there's this notion that, like, an offseason all happened on one day. You didn't know Nuke was going to become available. You didn't know Elijah Moore was going to become available when he became available. Or to the defensive side, Zadarius. Like, so just saying, well, the Browns did these things before Nuke was available doesn't mean that they wouldn't still want to, if the opportunity presents itself to sign that player, doesn't mean they wouldn't do it. Like, I just don't think that that's the vacuum by which a team in this frame of mind operates. So, what I think they're going to do is, like you said, Jeff, they're not winning a bidding war. I don't think they're out throwing crazy money at him. They're not doing that because they don't need to do that. But if they get with his agent and they sit down with him, or there's a phone call, whatever, and he says, can you hit $8 million, $7 million a year, make some of this, signing bonus me up so I get this guaranteed, let's run 2 years of this. Like, I don't think that that's crazy to think it could happen, because it's a destination right now. It really is a destination spot that people do, like, guys in the NFL do want to go. Now, there's a stigma these guys need to shake. We all know that. Everybody listening, they have to prove it. But there's no doubt that players respect Deshaun. Players respect a lot of guys on this roster, and they do want to come here. Zadarius couldn't have laid that out for you any clearer.
Yep.
Like, they want to come here. So don't find it crazy if a guy like Nuke in this situation says, hey, Patriots are throwing good money at me, but I don't want anything to do with Bill O'Brien, right? Or whatever else. Like, it's not impossible to think that that guy really does. It's a different frame of mind. But I also think that if there's two teams that could clearly use him more that should be chasing him with more money, and that is Buffalo and Kansas City. It's not a doubt in my mind, but do they have the money, and do they ultimately give him something that he's looking for, right? That's the question. So there's just a level of familiarity. If the best years of your career happen with my guy, four, and I know if I go there, he's going to still get me the rock, like, there's appeal to that. There's real appeal to it. So I just leave it at that. But to your original question, Jeff, there's enough. If nothing happens else, there's enough here to win, man. The weapons are good. The weapons are really good. Not great, but really good. And they can win a lot of ball games with them, in my opinion.
Well, the New England one drives me crazy. I absolutely love that. Bill O'Brien, that's the guy that sent me to Arizona because he didn't like the fact that my kids came to practice. And McCorkle Jones. They're throwing out Josh Allen, a possibility. They're throwing out Patrick Mahomes as a possibility. Deshaun Watson as a possibility. Or Mac Jones. New England, no. Sorry.
I don't see it either.
I don't see any way whatsoever. Unless Nuke says, hey, I only want to play 17 games anyway.
Well, that or like the money is like he's, and we don't know if he's solely motivated by, I got to get an Odell like deal here where I'm getting 17, 18 on the top end of a deal like that. Okay. Then do you, man, go get it. But like, if he's looking at situations laid out plain and he wants a quarterback, he knows a quarterback is great, but they're also, the Browns are still going to have enough money to give him something decent. It makes a lot of sense, even though you don't love it. And I know there are smart people out there that don't love this. I know our boy Pete is against it. I'm just saying, like, if you sit here and say, that Donovan is better than him, or you don't want him because of Donovan or these other, like, I don't, that's not right to me. Like, Donovan is fine. He's a nice functional wide receiver.
We're talking more David Bell or Marquise Goodwin would be the guy 100%. On the hot seat anyway.
Yeah. I mean, he's, there's, if you bring in a guy like Nuke in this scenario, there's going to be a target share shift here, but I mean, he's got two good years left under his belt that I would want to push. Like, I watched all of his 21 and 22 snaps, and he can still do it, man. He can still do it, and he's so good at the little things. He's so good at the little things that a quarterback like Deshaun loves, and he's shown that he loves it. So I think it, they don't need – they're in the spot, Jeff, where it's nice. They don't need it. They don't need to do it, but I'd like to see it happen if he wants to make it happen. So, you know.
We're going to continue here. Jake Burns from the OBR, Jeff Floyd, your latest Locked On Browns. As always, thank the everydayers who make Locked On Browns their first listen. As always, be more like the everydayers. Subscribe to Locked On Browns YouTube channel. Notifications on, so when the content drops, you guys are there to absorb it. Always free, always available audio-wise, wherever you get your podcasts. Jake, you brought up target sharing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know a lot of people are talking about that. But here's also the first thing. There's going to be more targets just in general. When, you know, you're going to the 17-game commitment, obviously, now that you have Deshaun Watson for, this team is transitioning from a team, I don't want to say run first necessarily, but you're a team that is transitioning to throwing the ball more. We all know that they have, you know, that certain number that they like to keep Nick Chubb at, and that's okay. Guess what? When we're not going to involve Nick Chubb can go rest on the sidelines. I also think there's going to be a path where Nick Chubb is going to be, I think this will probably be Nick Chubb's best statistical output season as far as a receiver. Yeah. I think there's just going to be a lot of gimmies, a lot of layups for Nick Chubb in that regards. But overall, the running game, and this obviously has been the calling card, I would say, to this point of the Stefanski regime here. And it's not so much an indictment on, you know, the play of Kareem Hunt, the play of D'Ernest Johnson, but you did move on from your number two, your number three running back. To this point, you have not brought anybody in. And I think part of that is they do probably have some faith in Jerome Ford. But the fact is they just realized they're just not going to be running the football as much as they have in years past.
Yeah, there's so I've kind of tried to lay this out, like I said, on my own side of things a lot, where I think they have been very predictable run game wise over the course of three seasons with how they run it, from where they run it, under center, power counter team with wide zone as the secondary element to your gap schemes. They run a little duo from the gun. They're very lateral run based, right? Like pin pull stuff to the outside, where you see offense couple, usually two offensive linemen pulling around, leading the way. Like, they're going to diversify a lot of what they do. And I think they're going to, is evidenced by hiring Bill Musgrave and getting in more of that Chip Kelly influence. I think you're going to see more zone stuff in what I used to call tight zone, which is really coined popularly across the football, the inside zone. So more inside zone stuff and really from the gun, some downhill quick hitting stuff that is going to give them cheap yards and also provide them with a lot more read capabilities. Now, those read capabilities, you're talking about how a volume of carry goes down for Nick a little bit. You're talking about RPOs and zone read or power read or different elements of read stuff where a quarterback pull is a possibility. So just by virtue of, hey, we're going to run a call that's a run scheme primarily up front, but we can also throw this slant flat combination to the right side. We can throw this tight end. You know, they run what's called read flat wheel, which is where they're sending the cutting tight end who's going to cut block normally in split zone. They're going to send him to the flat. They got a guy on a wheel route, and then they got a guy coming on a backside dig with a post on the front side too. They ran that a lot. They came out and actually tried to run that like five times when they played Houston this year. It just didn't look right because they haven't done enough of it. So they're going to have complicated RPOs, complex RPOs, and generic RPOs, which are just quick hitting throws off of it. And what that does is run schemes get paired with throws, and by nature of just, hey, they're going to take away or they're going to commit an extra guy to the box or somebody's moving inside, that's going to be a throw, right? That cuts down on runs. They're going to play more out of the gun than ever. They're going to be in the shot, like pistol a little bit here and there too. So they'll cut into the run game a little bit there. They'll have zone read stuff off of it, which means a quarterback can pull it and get out. We saw them do that almost every single game they played in the six Deshaun game. So I think Nick still gets his. I don't think it's going to be 300 carries, but it could be a really efficient 220. And off of that, like you said, an uptick by 20-30% in the passing game puts him at maybe like a 20, going from 20 catches in a season to 30-40-50 catches in a season. I don't think that's crazy at all. So, it's a huge element of things that I think shifting from the predictable things that they have done with quarterbacks that they've had to carry, right? All respect to Baker and Jacoby, but those are offenses that the quarterback had to really be ushered along, given easy answers, right? You have a quarterback now who can do the complex things, who can read the tough stuff to read, who can make the plays that are tough to make. And with that, to me, means a little less run game, but ultimately should lead to a more efficient offense, Jeff.
Now, you know, you look at the way the room is currently constructed. Obviously, you know, you think there's a path there for Jerome Ford to lock down a number two running back spot. But of course, as we said, they're forever tinkering. They're forever looking. And this could be something where Jerome Ford wows them from as early as mid to late July. Cause again, Browns fans, Browns training camp will start earlier this year, fourth preseason game. So all the stuff is going to be a little accelerated. Or, you know, there's always going to be the possibility that somebody's brought in. It could be somebody that's cut. The veteran market, look, you have the same questions with any of these guys all over the place. It's, you know, how much is left? You would, you know, some of these guys, hey, I'd like these guys for three games, four games. I don't know what I'm going to do with these guys for 17 games because I just don't know if they have that much left in the tank. But you got to think at some point somebody's going to be brought in here. I don't think John Kelly is going to spend, you know, yet another season bouncing back and forth, you know, for the practice squad and, you know, every now and then getting a shot at the game day roster.
No, what you're probably looking at here is something similar to what happened with Nuke, right? Where he's just, we can't solve a release. We can't solve a trade. We're just going to release a guy. So, you know, it appears Dalvin Cook is working in the same direction. I'm not saying they're signing Dalvin Cook. That's a different animal. Some other team with more cap space and a desire to sign that type of player. But think like Miami, who drafts Devon Achane, and then has Jeff Wilson, and then they have Raheem Mostert, like somewhere where a team doesn't want to keep an expensive third back and thus either cut somebody in camp. There are some on the market, like they, you know, Zeke and, you know, what's interesting is our old friend Dontrell Hilliard still in the free agent market.
That is a name I had brought up.
Yeah. Kenyon Drake is available. There's a lot of vets on the market. I don't think they're in a big rush to do anything. What I presume, Jeff, that they want to do is go through training camp and evaluate Ford the best way they can. He's going through OTAs because Nick isn't there, leading that group, doing all the things. Like, I saw enough from Jerome Ford, in my opinion, through preseason in his kick return action.
Yep.
Because you have to read a kick return. You have to really decipher where guys are running, where your lane is, set up rushing lanes. I know he didn't run a lot last year, but the Browns were always going to use Kareem Hunt, paying him $4 million. They're going to use him. They got to get their money out of that guy. So I'm not surprised they didn't give Jerome Ford a ton of carries. But I think there's enough with Jerome that I like, and especially his Cincinnati Bearcat background and that offense that they ran, which has a lot of elements of what I think is coming that will make him really comfortable in it. And he's a nice, he can handle catching the football out of the backfield a little bit too. So, you know, we know Demetric Felton is moving back. I don't have any hopes for that, but I do think if they're looking like, do we have an internal player here who can catch the football out of the backfield? Well, Dontrell can do that. I said Dontrell. Demetric can do that. He's able to do that. He has a history of doing it in college. Now he shifted to wide receiver because the Browns running back room was so loaded. That was the only path for him to find the field. But as a, hey, do we need a third down scat back, maybe a Duke Johnson type that we can put on the field in these situations? It's not an element that he shouldn't be trying. That's his only path to making the roster. So I guess what I'm saying, Jeff, I wouldn't be surprised if they went Jerome Ford and Demetric Felton, spent their money on other guys they feel they need are more necessary. Maybe the Shelby Harris, Matt Ioannidis types. There's a three tech. We already went through and covered all the Nuke angles, like what that could look like. I just wouldn't be surprised if they think Jerome, we drafted him in the fourth round. We like him. We know he didn't play a ton last year, but if we drafted him this year, we'd be excited about that player. Give him the opportunity. Give Demetric the opportunity. We have a fourth back in John Kelly, who's been around our franchise and system and everything for years, who's good enough to be a spot player here and there. So I just wouldn't be surprised. Now, could they? I heard they liked Max Borgi, the kid from Washington State, who was in for a tryout. It was more of a receiving back, obviously, in that air raid stuff they ran out there at Washington State. They're going to sniff around. They're going to look at others at the position. But ultimately, if they're looking at, like, we have to slash costs somewhere, I think that they they might want to stomach a second Jerome Ford and third Felton type just to see if they can get something out of that. But again, we'll see. There's a lot of veteran names. If they come out of mini camp and they don't feel good about it going into training camp, maybe the first few days of training camp, Jeff, that's when you could see like a Malcolm Smith type signing at the position.
Yep.
Where it comes in during camp and solve it that way. So in an ideal world, your guys, Jerome, Demetric is your third guy, and John Kelly's and you save a lot of money. You can do a lot of different, keeps your flexibility open, but there's going to be some sniffing around some veterans too, I think.
Well, I mean, and which is always the, you know, for them, the analytic planet running back. But the problem is Nick Chubb broke the analytic mold. That was the problem the Cleveland Browns had, is Nick Chubb became the guy that was so good and pretty much irreplaceable in their eyes that they said we had to pay. There would always be that one anomaly for anything you had, and Nick Chubb ended up being that guy for them. He is Jake Burns, Orange and Brown Report. If you guys don't know by now, oh my God, you should. The OBR Film Breakdown Pod. Jake does a fantastic job over there. Make sure you're checking everything out. Make sure you can also, by checking it out, make sure you're following at @Jake_Burns18. Pleasure sitting down here breaking bread with Jake again. Certainly been too long, and we certainly will not make the length go that long again in between opportunities sitting down and talk with Jake. I am your host, Jeff Lloyd, @Jeff_LJ_Lloyd. Appreciate all the everydayers who make Locked On Browns your first listen. You can join them. Make sure you subscribe to the Locked On Browns YouTube channel. Always available, always free audio-wise wherever you get your podcast. This has been your daily delivery of all things Dog Pound. LGB on ELOB. Let's go, Browns.